You might like to open your Bible to the Gospel of John and chapter 20. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you that we can open thy word. We thank you that we have thy word. And Spirit of God, we thank you that you will help us to understand that which you have written and have preserved and kept for us, that we would have the opportunity and privilege of honoring and knowing you. And our God, we thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. And remember now in our study, we're looking at the Lord Jesus Christ after his resurrection. And that morning, he saw Mary early in the morning. And in the process, late afternoon, he saw the two disciples on the Emmaus Road. And then, it was still Sunday, he saw in the upper room the disciples that were descended, including the apostles. Now, so in the process we share together that God, what he was doing is making it very, very, very clear and very simple that God is God and he honors his word and his work. He not only showed himself alive in a public ministry for 3 1/3 years, but he went after those 3 1/3 years and demonstrated all that he said and all that he was here for. The Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. And he went and died. He said he would die. He had to die. He said he would rise again. That's where the problem came, because they just couldn't understand how that could be. And in the process, he's demonstrating to the believers, to those people that he trained for 3 1/3 years, to the believers that followed him, he's helping them understand. He isn't going to the world. He isn't going to the unsaved. He's going to the believers. That's what he's doing. He's helping them. They need to understand, because they live in a world that doesn't enjoy or understand being in the presence of the invisible God. They just don't understand. From north, south, east, and west. And the churchgoers, people that are religious, churchgoers even, they don't understand. You're in God's presence. You can't be in more God's presence than you are. The problem is that we just are not connected enough to understand. And therefore, as like we studied in Hebrews, without faith it's impossible to please him. So we're going to have to go by faith and give God credit for who he is and what he said. So here's Israel, and here he is in the upper room. He's going to help them personally, and he's going to help them very much. And as we shared all those things, I remember in chapter 20, in the process, he showed him, verse 20, when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. The side is, remember, we shared that together. Normally, the crucifixion, you get the nails, you got the imprints, and you got all of that. And you got all those victims that are crucified. And why is this victim? This victim is not normal. He's God in the flesh, the innocent Son of God. Sinless Son of God. So God mocked him so that you'd have no problem. And the soldier shoved his spear up into his side, into his heart. He did it so that there's a hole there. So you mock him. Now, here's all the people that die. Here's this one. He's the Son of God dying for the sin of the world. So he said he showed him his hands and showed him his side. That's what he did. and as we shared in all of that last time with Luke and that. And they had trouble with that. And then they were eating, so he said, have you any food to eat? And they gave him the fish and that. And they did that. And they were glad, in verse 21, verse 20. And the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. They were glad and wondered and were joyed elsewhere, as you read. And in the process, they rejoiced. And God then said to them, in verse 21, then said Jesus to them, again, peace be unto you. As my Father sent me, even so sent I you. So he's telling them, he's trying to help them understand, which we are understand by faith. We're in his presence, and we have his word. They were to understand at this point. They aren't where we are, looking back. They're just experiencing the whole thing. And to even understand the Jewish people did not believe. The world didn't believe, but the Jewish people didn't believe that God could be as a man, born in Bethlehem of Judea, to die on the cross. They just didn't believe that. They had no problem with the Messiah, a man, Christ, the Anointed One, but to die on the cross as God, God gave himself in Christ to die on the cross. That's hard. So he's trying to help them. And he does. And they're excited now. They're getting excited, rightly so. And he says, peace be unto you. Now he said, he told them, remember over in John 14, go over there for a moment. In John chapter 14. He told them these things. Now he's having them experience it, that God can give to them and help them understand. Chapter 14 of John, picking up if I can, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace, not your peace, God's peace, I give unto you, not as the world gives. So it's nothing that you feel, understand. I know what peace is. I know how to have peace. No, it isn't like that. It's the peace that God has, and it's way out of our reach. God can give it to us to experience. We can't even understand how to ever produce it because it belongs to God's perfect, perfect person. Therefore, peace I leave with you, and my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So they would have that. And remember, chapter 16, just tying it again, verse 33, he ends the section. Verse 33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me, in Christ, without him you can do nothing, that in me you might have peace. In the world, on the other hand, you shall have tribulation, pressure, squeezing, oppression, and everything. But be of good cheer, be of courage. Be encouraged. I have overcome the world. So those are wonderful things they heard. And now he's risen and he's telling them they can begin to possess such a relationship to God that they need to have that was impossible. He had a life and their lives did not match his life. No matter what they did and said for 3 1/3 years, they never could understand the life that he had. They could experience it in the sense of being with him to see it, but they couldn't possess it. God has now risen again from the grave to make impossible, to make possible the impossible, to make it real. So the peace, he's there. Hang on to that. God's going to give him this peace, this wonderful relationship to God that God has. They're going to give God's peace in a most wonderful, wonderful way in the process now. And so as God's doing that, picking up in chapter 20 again, the peace of God. And in the process, he's going to do something else. Now remember now, help us, chapter 17 for a moment. Chapter 17. And you'd recall, chapter 17, picking up, if I can, verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Now, hang on to that. That hadn't happened yet, but this is the plan of God, the peace of God, to send them forth. So, what we're looking at now is the time. Hang on, because it's important. Here's his resurrection. He's trying to help them understand all of the benefits that have become real and possible in a most wonderful way. And you need to understand these benefits. We're listening. Because we got the death part, and here you are. We're listening. Now, what are we doing, God? Because in just a few days, Acts chapter 2, and the Spirit of God is going to bring the wonderful life of the Lord Jesus in newness of life. He's going to bring that unique, wonderful relationship smack dab into the middle of your heart. And what you never have known, the life that belonged to the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to become your life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And I'm going to bring you personally, my personal presence in your heart. I'm going to make your heart my home. Now, that's what he's going to do. You need to keep that in mind. It hasn't happened, but it's going to happen in just a few days. Now, in the process of all of that, he's going to, as my Father sent me, and two different words for send in this particular place, the sending authoritatively with delegated authority, and that's the first part, as my Father sent me with authority, full authority, and even so I am sending you to represent me, I'm sending you under my authority. So he's sending us under the Lord Jesus Christ. He has the authority. And he's sending us forth. That's important now to catch that, what he's going to do. And in the process, he's going to go and confirm his resurrection. He's going to go and show his wonderful and confirm and affirm. He's going to show his wonderful, wonderful that he's risen. How's he going to show that he's risen? Well, these people have been seeing him. They're going to see him again 7 days later. He's going to be back there with Thomas, as you know. And he's making it very clear for them for 40 days and 40 nights. What's he making clear about? That he is really risen. He literally, physically is risen. He's seated at the right hand of God. He's literally real. We're real. They were real. And all the things that God was saying was real. And all of the reality needed to be realized and understood. And the Spirit of God's ministry to make possible, to make real what the peace of God, the person of God, the power of God, the provision of God, for God to make real God's wonderful person for you. That's called eternal life. A unique relationship to God to make it real. Who makes it real? The Spirit of God makes it real. He makes it real. You don't make it real, and I don't make it real, and I'm never going to do it, neither can you, but God does. Now, keep hanging on. And so when he had said this, verse 22, he said unto them, when he said, he had said this, he breathed on them and said, saith unto them, verse 22, receive the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God's, remember what you had, back over if I can, hold your finger here. Remember what he just got through in the upper room. He's now helping them put the pieces together. And in chapter 14 of the Gospel of John. And remember, chapter 14, picking up, please, in verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, another of the same kind, that he may abide with you forever. Who is that comforter? Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. He's with you. With you. Well, I don't feel it. After his resurrection, the Spirit of God is what? The believing hearts were bought with a price. They have been in 3 1/3 years. They are looking to God. They belong to God's personal, prized, privileged possessions. And God is stamping them with the Spirit of God, sealed by the Spirit of God. He's going to do that. But the Spirit of God isn't going to lose in this in-between time. Here's all the disciples that can wander and get worse. But God's going to keep them. What? To have the peace of God, to understand the plan of God. The plan for them is to represent our Lord Jesus Christ. And look at chapter 15. Ahead, you'll hang on to this as you read it. Chapter 15, again in verse 26, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry. But when the Comforter is come, 26, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. That's what he's going to do. He's going to make the wonderful benefits of the Lord Jesus Christ real to the hearts of the believing believers. And verse 27, and ye also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. And I'm not going to lose out. You're not going to lose. You're going to bear witness of me. As my Father sent me, witnessing of God, I am sending you, witnessing of God. Hang on to that. It'll help you. Now, so here we are looking in God's wonderful, wonderful grace. And the Spirit of God's going to do a wonderful, wonderful thing in the hearts of the believers. So, and keeping in mind that God's required, God is going to go, and the Spirit of God's going to go, his wonderful ministry is to honor our Lord Jesus Christ. So when the Spirit of God enters and comes into the heart of the believer, at the same time I receive Christ as my Savior, I have to receive God, God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And the Spirit of God's wonderful, wonderful ministry is to honor the Father. It isn't to honor me. It's to bring all of the benefits that Christ made possible in creating us in his image and likeness, in going to the cross and redeeming us from our sin, and making it possible so that we could enjoy a wonderful relationship to God and the light of his Son, to enjoy that relationship to God in the light of his Son. And the Spirit of God's ministry is to make God in all of his wonderfulness possessed to be real, the reality of the realness in your heart. How so? By God. God's doing it. And just think of what we're doing in Hebrews and all of that. God is going to do what he's going to do and has done it. And we have to, by faith, understand it. And that's what God's helping the disciples, the believers, understand. You're going to have to trust me and look to me. Abide in me like the vine and the branch so that you can enjoy the relationship. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if he can, in God's wonderful, wonderful grace, and God's going to go and show the making possible the impossible again, the newness of life. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. All of that becomes real. All of those things are going to become. And you are, and the believers here, they are, they're being encouraged. God is encouraging them of all the things that he told them and all of that which is going to come. The relationship, it's all there. And they'll just, God's helping them in these days before Acts chapter 2, when all of it becomes, the church becomes his body in a very unique way. Now, having said that, a new creature in Christ, to believe God in a world that isn't believing. So, and the world loves darkness rather than light because the deeds are evil and they don't want to know. Now, God, what do we need to know? God, you want us to be very, very knowledgeable so that you know. So it isn't this, hang on, that's the whole point of this, actually, when you're done. God wants you to be able to understand what he has done on Calvary's cross. It's very real, very right. It's meant to be enjoyed, experienced, for real. That's what God's meant and God's doing. And God is going to make it real. It's, his ways and his thoughts are higher than the heavens. But God is wonderful to help us. Because beyond all that, Ephesians 2, beyond all that we can ask or think, God, we can't even grab what you're doing. God said, you don't handle it. You don't have it. You can't make it be, exist. It already exists in the heart and mind of God. And the heart and mind of God in Christ, in you, all of it is yours. And the Spirit of God's ministry is to make it real, wonderfully, wonderfully real. 1 John 5. And in 1 John chapter 5, you remember, when it comes to being knowing the Lord as our Savior, in the process, 1 John 5, picking up please in verse 9, 5 and 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. God's trying to help them in Acts chapter 20, John 20. The witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. It's all located in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died and rose again. He that believeth, verse 10, on the Son of God, hath the witness inside himself. How is the witness in there? It's in there by trusting, looking to God. Where's the witness? The Spirit of God. I'm going to be the witness. God, how am I going to know? God said, I'll be there to tell you. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is going to make sure you know that God the Father and God the Son are really, really, really what they, who they are. Therefore, the witness in himself, he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he hath believeth not the record witness that God revealed his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. This life is in his Son. Okay, so when I receive the Son, verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. When I receive, what are you, Spirit of God's going to what? As my Father sent me, so send I you. You're going to be there to represent me, who I am. That's what I'm doing. I've died on the cross. I'm going to bear witness. The only sign I'm going to give him is the sign of the prophet Jonah, who is 3 days and three nights now. The world wants a whole lot of evidence in their unbelief and darkness. I'm not going to give it to them. I did everything possible, and they crucified the greatest light, the mostest, the bestest. They threw it away. They didn't believe. The only thing I'm going to do is show them an empty tomb. How am I going to show them an empty tomb? I'm going to send you to show them the empty tomb. I'm going to send you forth to show them the empty tomb. That's how they're going to see an empty tomb, by a heart that's going to evidence my presence. I'm going to be, as my Father sent me, I'm sending you. I am going to be Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm going to be in you when I go. And when you go to work, school, the bathroom, wherever you go, you're going to bring me, and you're going to be my witness. Hang on. My witness that I have saved you. I don't feel it. I didn't ask you to feel it. I bought you. You understand? I didn't ask you to do anything. I paid a price. You received my son. I've locked you in. You're sealed. Yeah, I mean, you're going to be sealed. You're locked in to a unique relationship to God. That's what you are. I didn't ask you to feel it. I bought you. I bought you. Who owns you? Well, God said, I do. I do. Think of 1 Corinthians 16, 1 Corinthians 6, 19, 20. You're not your own. You belong to the Spirit of God. You're not your own anymore. You belong to Him. Why don't you? You do. John chapter 6. I will not. I will not lose one person. I died for them. I paid for them. I paid. If you paid for 10 tomatoes, don't you want 10 tomatoes? I mean, you paid for them, $3 a tomato. If you did that, wouldn't you want to have all 10? How about if you had 6 of them when you got home? You paid for 10. God wants all 10. He paid for them. When you receive Him, He's going to keep what He paid for. That's His wonderful, wonderful inheritance. Now, so therefore, verse 13, these things have I written unto you, that you may, written, that's why we're reading them. That's why we got the book. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know. Remember, this is the word know, intuit, not like you're going to school, first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade. That's a progressive knowing. This is a knowing. You know you're alive. You just know you're alive. You didn't plan it. You didn't educate yourself. You just know you're alive. Most of you know you're alive, don't you? You know you're alive. It's something you just know. You know the airs in the room. You just know the air. You just know things. You just know them. Now, that's the word know. These things have I written unto you that you may know. Just know. Just know it. You don't learn to know it. You know it. That you have eternal life. Why? Because I received the Son, and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. And thus, God, you're doing a wonderful thing in saving us in a most wonderful way. Now, when you save us in what you do and how you do, you're going to do what? You're going to go, and when we get saved, a wonderful thing is discovered, that you've died on the cross for our sin. The wages of sin is death, John 6:23. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So you paid the price. You pardoned us. That's right. I pardoned you. I forgave you. That's what I did. I made it possible. What did the Lord say? The first thing in the cross when He was hanging there, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's what He said. They have no idea what they're doing. So that anyone who crucified Him could get saved. But I crucified Him. Forgive them. Anyone, I die for the sin of the whole world to get saved. Forgive them. Because why? The Father, God the Father, sent Himself in the Son. And His own, the sacrifice is none other than God Himself, who went to the cross and died. He went and died. He didn't ask us. He died for the sin. It was His wonderful plan to glorify Himself in a most wonderful way, to show His awesome person and plan. Awesome. Wow. Now doing that. So these things are written so that we can know and understand. So therefore, over to Acts and chapter 28. 26. I thought it was 28. Acts chapter 26. Here's Paul's commission. But note it, please. Acts 26. May I go directly, if I can, verse 16. But rise and stand upon my feet, for I have, this is what Paul's testimony. Arise, stand upon thy feet, and I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, those things in which I shall appear unto thee, which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people, from the Gentiles, unto whom I now send you, as my Father sent me, so send I you. That's what we're talking about, representing God. That's why we stay on earth. We breathe the air, get out of bed, go to work, go to school, eat and drink, what we do, to represent God's saving grace. How so? Verse 18. To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me, in Christ. God, what are you going to do? I set them free from darkness to light. I sent them, I forgive their sins. I forgive their sins. Christ died on the cross to forgive their sins, to pay the penalty. The wages of sin is death. To pay the penalty. That's what he did. He himself paid the penalty in an awesome way. Now, hang on. He did that so that we could have forgiveness of sins. He did that. Now, picking up, please, having that again, so God, you're going to go and do a wonderful thing in your gift, in your giving. You're going to go and make the reality real. You're going to help us understand what it is to be saved, to be forgiven. Over to Ephesians and chapter 1. And in Ephesians in chapter 1, picking up if I can, in verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. God died on the cross and paid the price. So all of the penalty that needs to be taken care of, the redemption, he died. What did he do? He took care of all of our sins. He didn't take care of two or three of them. He took care of all of them. Why does he have to take care of all of them? Because when he died on the cross, he offers us the gift of eternal life. Because, hang on, he has forgiven our sins. Forgiven them. He died on the cross and took my sin and your sin to that when he died, right? 1900 years ago or so. He took our sin there. How many sins? We know from James, one sin and we're cursed, let alone 1,000 sins. Our word, thought, and deed. God took every word, thought, and deed when you were just out of the womb all the way to your deathbed. God took every word, thought, and deed and died on the cross for all of that old nature, which is out of line, which is against God. He paid the price. That's what forgiveness. He paid the price for all of it. Otherwise, he'd have to keep paying the price. We'd have to keep having mass or something to try to keep getting forgiven, you see. No, he forgave us. It's a wonderful thing God did. Hang on to that. A wonderful thing he did, forgave us all our sin, all of it. I haven't even started tomorrow's sin yet. How's that? I haven't even started the bunch of it. But God, that's why I'm saved. That's why you're saved. Because God covers all the bases. He did the whole thing. And God, how do we handle it? Reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin. I died. Done. Finished. So we don't, what about all my, I'm finished. Do you understand? I want you to practice being a new creature in Christ. You're forgiven. I want you to live as a forgiven sinner. Thanking God that in the midst of all the wrong stuff going on in your head and brain and body, He's saving us and has forgiven us. And we represent that. Think of 1 John, boy, 1 John chapter 1. We're over there. 1 John chapter 1, in verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we make Him a liar. We deceive ourselves, 8 and 10. We make Him a liar. No, we are that. That's why verse 7, in 1 John 1, 7. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. That's what we're doing. We're being cleaned, present tense. Cleaned. I don't have to answer that, Stu. I'd be terribly depressed and everything, trying to figure out how to stop my sin. If I really was conscious of it, I'm not conscious of it. I'm conscious of what? I'm conscious of God saving us in a most wonderful way. And I got this old nature. It's just there. It keeps showing up 24 hours a day in some form or fashion. But I don't go by it. Don't go by it. God, you're new. As my Father sent me, so send I you. That's how I'm sent, to send like that. Now, you need that little bit. John chapter 20. And in John chapter 20, now before, hold your finger there, just right next door, chapter 16, you want to tie that in, chapter 16. And remember the Spirit of God's ministry, verse 7, 16, 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient, necessary for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter, Spirit of God, will not come unto you. So I need, that's what we read in John 20. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. Well, we just read all of that. The Spirit of Father sends the Son sends the Spirit of God. And verse 8, and when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they believed not on me. He's going to go and convict of sin. He died for the sins of the world. He forgave them. That's right. So it is no issue that. The Spirit of God's ministry is to convict the world that Christ died on the cross and took all of our sin. He took us to death that we might have life. He took us and took all our sin and pardoned. He's done. He's offered you the wonderful pardon, a forgiveness to enjoy, to exercise in an awesome way, to own a the reality of it, the reality of living in a relationship to God. That's you're comforted. As you go forward now, so in the saying of that, and of sin. Notice, remember now, verse 9, of sin singular, because they believe not in me. Of sin singular. And then I'm running out of time, so I got to move quick here. Hang on. I'm going out of sync. So I'm out of sync for a little bit, but it's to get it. Anyway, over to chapter 8. Of sin singular. So it's one sin that keeps you unsaved, of not believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we don't go up to people and say, what are your sins? Because it isn't an issue. What an issue is, they need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to get saved. That's what they need. That's their sin. They got to fix that. They don't fix it, they're lost. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Picking up, please, verse 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, 8:21, I go my way, you shall seek me, you shall die in your sins. Whether I go, you cannot come. It doesn't say you're dying because of your sins. It doesn't say because Christ died to finish that. You've got sin, old nature, and you don't enjoy what? Forgiveness. You don't enjoy it. Why? Because you don't believe. Chapter 8, verse 24. I said therefore unto you, that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. It's not because of your sin. John 16:9, there's one sin that keeps you lost. Christ died. Otherwise, it's all finished. So we offer the gospel to anybody, anywhere, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. As my Father sent me, so send I you. John chapter 20. And you'll note, please. Verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Verse 23. Whosoever in the light of the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry, in the light of being saved, the peace I give unto you. Verse 23. Whosoever sins, plural, you remit. The word remit means to send away, to set free, to go off, to forgive. That's the word. To remit, to forgive. Whosoever sins you forgive, they are remitted, forgiven. That's what you are unto them. So what are we doing? Here we are representing the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ who's forgiven us our sin, and we're going up and down. What are we doing? We're evidencing what? We're being a forgiven sinner. What's the world need to do? They need to be saved. Whosoever, as my Father sent me, so send I you. And so wherever you can go, you can say and do say in outwardly, verbally or not verbally, you're saying, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. We're saying forgiven. How? Because we're forgiven. We're forgiven. Why are we forgiven? Christ in us. Where's our authority to say that? I receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, and the Spirit of God's ministry is backing it up. I don't make it true. God makes it true. It's real. I've been forgiven. And that's our message. And I can say that to anybody. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And I'm an example. You're an example, I hope, of truth. A wonderful relationship. Wow. Hang on to that. Now, on the other side, in verse 23, and whosoever sins you remit, and the sins that are remitted unto them, whosoever sins are retained, to hold fast, to hold, to grip strong, to take a strong grip, to hold fast. The shepherd goes to hold fast the sheep, and Herod goes to hold fast John in prison. That's what hold fast, to hold fast. Hold faults of that. What do you mean you can hold? Oh, you're saying what? Could you say that with authority? Yes. I'm going to say in verse 23, whosoever sins you remit or forgive, they are forgiven. And unto the whoever sins you retain, they are retained. You're still lost. If you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're still in your sins. John 8:24, you're going to die in your sins. I can say that to anybody. That's what you're saying, isn't it? As my Father what? Sent me. That's what believers are supposed to be doing. They're sending what? A message out to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to say that. No one can forgive sin except God. Sin is against God. So it isn't anything about us. It isn't about the priest, confessional, all of that. You know, when it's, you know, candles and everything, you know. It isn't about that. But boy, do they take this, among other things, I don't even have time to help you understand. Now, that's a system. God saved us and has sent us into the world in a most wonderful, wonderful way. I can't do it all. Anyway, hope. Oh, a couple of things. I'm trying to help you back it up. It's an awesome thing to get it. Lock it in. 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 2, going directly to verse 14, the ministry of the believing heart. Now thanks be, verse 14, chapter 2. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph, to have the victory in Christ. What are we doing? What is this victory? And maketh manifest, clear, public, plain, the savor, the fragrance, the odor of his knowledge. By us, we, as my Father sent me, so send I you. He's sending us forth to what? For people to know Jesus Christ, who we received as our Savior. He that hath the Son hath life. We represent Jesus Christ, who forgave all our sins and gives us eternal life in a most wonderful way. We were lost, and God saved us in a wonderful way. Now, put that together, verse 15. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. That's what we're doing. We're a pain in the neck to the world. Not church going. You can be a bishop in it, whatever you want. Oh, not a bishop. Anyway, cardinal. Whatever. It isn't that. No, what at God is what going in a most wonderful way. And we're sent into the world. And God, what are we doing? Whether we like it or not. Either we're goofy, doing good, either our life's good or it isn't good. Either we understand being saved and we enjoy being saved and we're forgiven. And we represent being forgiven, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And here we are going, God, down the corridor of time and people see us. We don't use the same language. We're changing a whole, we keep changing. So that we're supposed to keep changing and developing to be like him. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And so as we're going through that, it's obvious that I knew you 5 years ago and you aren't the same. You don't think the same, you don't say the same, you don't, whatever. You're different. Right. They're going to look and ask a reason of the hope that's within you. Why? They're going to, look at the next verse. Verse 16. To the one we are a savor, a fragrance. But back up to verse 14. To the one we are a savor of death unto death, and to the other a savor, a fragrance of life unto life. But who is sufficient for these things? As my Father sent me. And so what are we doing? We're going up and down, and with great authority. Great authority, we're able to say. Where's the authority? Christ in you. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins are saved and your sins are forgiven. I can tell you your sins are forgiven. It's not telling me all the bad things about you or the good things or whatever. Big long list. What are we going to do with the big long list? Thank God he died on the cross and took all of that to Calvary's cross. He forgave you so you can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, which is the only sin. And you can do that. And if you don't do that, you're lost. And I can say that with authority. If you don't believe, you're lost. The wrath of God abideth on you, John 3:36. And who says authority? God said that in his word. Either believe and have life, don't believe and you're lost. And that's our message. That's what we're doing. And they're going to do that. And God isn't going to lose it. That's why he saves us, to glorify himself and to show that he saved us. So we haven't got to heaven yet. God leaves us here to show and demonstrate. So the disciples are to be encouraged and stimulated and exercised. And the day of Pentecost, they will be wonderfully so. But in the meantime, God, they were glad. They saw him. They saw his hands. They saw his feet. They saw his side. Wow. And they have no idea yet what it's going to be. But it's going to be. And that's what God's trying to help. As my Father sent me, so I'm sending you. To enjoy and represent me. And so you don't back down, don't back out. Are your sins forgiven if you're saved? Yes. And you don't talk about it, have to argue about it, debate and do whatever you want. Your sins are forgiven not because of you, but because of Christ's death on the cross. That's why they're forgiven. So it's nothing about you or me. It's about, you have a problem with me saying that? You have to go to God and His Word, because God says so. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He says so. You know, you're lost if you don't believe. God said so. You don't like it? We're witnesses. The hope that is within us, they'll ask you at 1 Peter 3:15, they'll ask you a reason of the hope that is within you. The hope. What are we looking for as believers? Ought to be, at least healthy believers. We're looking for the blessed hope, Titus 2:13. We're looking for a soon coming. It's a blessed hope, isn't it? Blessed hope, wonderful hope. And God, we're looking for it. And we're looking for that hope and the wonderful expectancy. And so go, what's it? Think of the other, 1 John 3 and 1, 2, and 3. 1 John 3. The hope, we're going to be like Him. Hope, He's coming. 1 John 3. Hope, He's going to change us like Him. And so I got that in my mind. We're going to be like Him. That's my thinking. And then people are going to ask, because it's going to show up in my life. They ask for a reason of the hope that's within me. And you're going to be able to give them an answer. They want to know, what is it? You have this wonderful something going on in your heart. I've been forgiven. And I'm able to say so boldly. And if you don't get saved, you're lost. That's what it is. That's what you say. That's their ministry. That's our ministry. And we're supposed to be showing it. I wish I could have done this different for you. I hope you got a little bit. It's an awesome section, and people do not very good with it. But it's so full of wonderful connecting pieces. Our Father and God, we thank You for Thy word, Thy work, Thy grace. So deal with us. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for saving us. Thank You for the forgiveness of sins. Thank You, God, all of it's for real. God, the reality of the realities. Yeah, and you're gonna take the disciples, and You did take them and made sure they wouldn't lose the reality. And on day of God, You saved them in a wonderful way. And so they never use the reality. And God, You saved us so we'd never lose the reality of our forgiveness, of Your saving grace. And God, thank you. God, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, Spirit of God, take care of it in us, for us, and around us, that many would come to know You as their Lord and Savior. God, it's so simple, and it's not in us, not in our wisdom, our IQ, or anything else. It's located in Your awesome person. And our God, we thank You. In Christ's name, amen.